These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
The opening section of Parshas Kesisa, which deals with the counting of Bnei Yisrael, yields one or two items of information that I wanted to draw your attention to this evening. First of all, as you know, it is forbidden to count people, and consequently the method used was that each individual would give a machzis ha-shekel, and this chatzi shekel, it was counted, by which one would obtain the census. Now the expression used is machzis ha-shekel, the shekel ha-kodesh. And this expression, shekel ha-kodesh, is one which requires a certain amount of elaboration. We do not suggest for one moment, says the Ramban, that the shekel is holy. Rather, it means that it is a shekel which is used on many occasions for a holy purpose. And he quotes the examples, for instance, in the case of Pidgin Aben, in Erechin, and various other matters, and of course in regards to the Mishkan. So it is important to recognize that the expression shekel HaKodesh therefore means a shekel which is involved on many occasions in matters of Kedusha. Then he goes on to say that this is also, to my mind, the explanation of the phrase which we find in the Mishnah in Sotah, Lashon HaKodesh. It is not that the language is inherently holy, but rather it is the language which is used for matters of holiness. It is the language through which HaKodesh Baruch Hu has communicated the Torah, has Nevuah to his Nevi'im, etc. So it is worthwhile just mentioning that thought regarding Shekel HaKodesh and Lashon HaKodesh. Hidden away at the beginning of the Parsha is a fascinating item of information. There is a famous volume, more correctly three volumes, by Diane Waldenberg, one of the halachic giants of the latter part of this century, who is mostly known for his Shilas Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer. But many, many years ago, Diane Waldenberg wrote a three-volumed work entitled Hilchos Medina. And in that work, he set about establishing the halachic criteria for a state, Hilchos Medina. And in the main was concerned with the judiciary and also with the army. And of course, one of the topics that he discusses is the question of the age of conscription. When are men eligible to be conscripted for army service according to the Torah? And of course, the phrase that comes immediately to mind, Miben Esrim Shana Vomala, from the age of 20 and upwards. However, he poses the following question. There are two types of war in halacha. There is either Milchemes Chova or Milchemes Mitzvah, and on the other hand, Milchemes Reshus, the obligatory war and the optional war. Now, there is no indication whatsoever, or appears to be no indication whatsoever in the Torah, as to whether the Miben Esrim Shana V'mala, as an age, a minimum age, whether it applies either to Milchemes Chova or to Milchemes Reshus, and there is a case to be made that it should apply to only one, and that it would not be logical to assume the other from the fact that it was stated in regards to one. So the question is, what is Miben Esrim Shana V'mala? Is it to be only accepted either in the case of Milchemes Reshus, but in Milchemes Chova even less than 20 can be conscripted? Or is it to be established as only a pertaining to Milchemes Reshus, but since we are dealing with a Milchemes Chova, we should be able to take people in the same spirit as Afilu Chosun Michadro V'Kala Michuposha? And he said he only found one source which indicated to him that it applies to both. And believe it or not, it's the Sifsei Chachamim at the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. So let's have a look at the Rashi. Pasuk Yudalet, Miben Esrim Shana V'mala. Okay? These are the people who are Oveir Al HaPekudim. Miben Esrim Shana V'mala, says Rashi, Limedech Okan, it comes to teach you, She'ein Pachos Miben Esrim Yotzei Latzava V'nimna V'chlal Anokim. It comes to teach you that less than 20 years of age is not included and cannot go out to war. That's the Rashi. Says the Siftei Chachomim, a work which is not often quoted. The reasoning of Rashi is as follows. Since the Pasuk says, Mi ben esrim shana, from the age of 20 and upwards, is lomali, why does the Torah need to specify that this Mi ben esrim shana is also kol ho'aveir al ha'pekudim, those who pass through the census? Eloli medecho kan, so Rashi implies that comes to teach us that under 21 does not go out to war. Says the Sifzei Chachomim in explaining Rashi. Kilomar, this is to say, Lahochi nochat lishon pekudim. The reason why the word pekudim is used in regards to miben esrim shana v'malo in this pasuk is lahodia, to teach you, she'ein pochos miben esrim yotzei la'tzavah, that under 20 does not go out to war. How do we know that is related to the expression pekudim? Says the Sifzei Chachomim, demotzinu lishon pekudim gabi chayil. Because we find the word pekudim used as a specialist term, not just the census of an entire people, but counting people for military service. Where do we find this? For instance, we find it in Bamidbar and Parshas Matos, by Yisof Moshe al pikudei echoyim, that Moshe Rabbeinu becomes angry at those who had been counted for the army, who went out to war. Ukesiv, and we have another example, says the Sifzei Chachomim, that Saul went to count those people with a view to enlisting them in the military campaign that he was about to wage. And therefore, the understanding for Kudim, meaning as a census of those eligible for a military service, the pasuk now should be understood in the following way. He sees, though it's no spinaeus, a lot of spats of bits of a hamilchoma. When you come to count those who are eligible for military service, ye you, me ben kaf, shona, vomala, then they've got to be 20 and upwards. So therefore, having told me, me ben esrim, shona, vomala, that they have to be 20, those are the ones who are counted. And also having told me that those people who are Mibene Simshalomola are also Hoovin ala Pekudim, eligible for military service, because that's what the Lashon Pekudim is. So therefore we learn from this that under 20 is not eligible for military service. That's explaining Rashi. Then the Sifzei Chachomim goes on to say the following. The Yim Tomar, and if you will ask, why do I need to be told here in Parshas Ki Sisa that under 20 is not eligible for military service? Do we not know this item of information at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, where it reads, Miben Esrim Shana Vomaro Kol Yotzei Tzava, that from the age of 20 and upwards, all who go out to war? So why does it need to be mentioned here again? Says the Sifzei Chachomim v'yesh letaretz. The answer is, Dahava Amina. Because had I only had the source there at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Hava Amina, I might have assumed, Daska b'milchemes chalva hikbit hakra, avalova b'milchemes orashus. I might have thought that the Torah is only particular about the age of 20 as the minimum age of conscription in the case of Milchemes Chorva, the obligatory war, but in the case of the optional war, maybe that is an age limit which does not apply. Therefore, this particular statement that under 20 is not eligible for military service is repeated by Midwar and Kisisa in order to indicate the after Milchemes Horashus, that even in an optional war, in a yotzei in mi ben esrim shana v'mala, only those who are 20 and upwards are eligible for participation in that service. So this Sifzei Chachomim is a yediyah, something worth noting. We don't have any indication whatsoever, says Zion Baldberg, in any other source, just in a Sifzei Chachomim and part of Kisisa. So again, confirming that there are so many areas of not only Machshava, but even in Halacha, where we look through the Mefarshim and Chumash to give us added insights into so many well-known areas, but nevertheless bringing to us new information. Now, what I want to look at as a main item for this evening's shiur is based on the psukim at the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph, Aleph and Beis. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, ve'ei korati v'shem b'saleil ben Uri ben Chur le'mate Yehuda. So here we have for the first time the introduction of a personality who is to be associated with the building of the Mishkan. And we don't find mention of him before, and his appointment is announced with the word Rehe. And here I came across a most fascinating thesis in a small essay known as Ohel Yehoshua. Now, this particular individual is well known to us from our study of Pirkei Avos many moons ago, Rabbi Yehoshua Heller Zatzal, who was a Talmid both of Rabbi David Tevel, who is the Minsker Rav, and also himself the Talmid of Rabbi Chaim Yevaloshin, and Rabbi Yehoshua Heller was also the Talmid of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Also had a most magnificent grasp of the languages. His writing is most poetic. And he writes as follows. B'chol pasios hatzivuyim. You'll note that it goes differently than the Sephora that we mentioned last week, but shivim ponim latura. B'chol pasios hatzivuyim. In regards to all the commandments which were given to Moshe Rabbeinu pertaining to the election of the Mishkan, ne'emar le'Moshe, it was mentioned to Moshe Rabbeinu, sheyihyeh hu ha'oseh. That Moshe Rabbeinu was to be the one who was originally envisioned that he should build the Mishkan. And that is why it says, V'yasisa, and you shall make. V'haseh, and make. Ta'aseh, you make. With the exception, as he says in brackets, with the Oron, when it says V'osu, because there Chazal say the use of the plural is to imply that all Jews should participate in the Oron, because that will be a segura in order to indicate to them that all Jews have a part in Torah. Now, and after all the commandments and after all the exhortations, he did lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shekoach ma'asov nimseru bidei betzalel. That in fact the building of the Mishkan is going to be entrusted to Betzalel. The Lomo Lo Gila Lo Roz Dechodim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not mention this matter to Moshe Rabbeinu prior to this? The Lo Roz. And I'll say more, says Rabbi Yeshua Heller. Ela Shenira Mitzach HaKosuv Ki Hoya Zeh Dovo Chodosh. If you look at the language of the prophet, which introduces Bezalel into the whole Inyan of the Mishkan, you will see that the language itself implies that it is something new. The Omro, because the prophet says, Rehei, Korosi B'Shem B'Tzalel, etc. Kolomar, and the word Rehei is to be explained as, Tein Livachol Hisponein. Direct your heart to understand, Shein Adova Kemo Shato Sovur, that the matter is not like you might have assumed, Shato Tihiyeh Ha'umon, that you are going to be the craftsman involved with the building of the Mishkan. No. Ela Misar Tivli Acheir, I've given it over to another individual altogether. And the emphasis is that that's the explanation of the word Rehei. Ukavar Torah Ramban Zala Hazbir, and indeed the Ramban has a bit of a problem trying to explain Milozu Shalei, what the word Rehei means. The Chain Tiresh Rashi, and indeed the explanation that I give to Rehei here, is the same explanation that Rashi gives to a word Rehei later on in our Parsha of Kisisa. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu says Rehei Atah Umeir Elai. So what does Rashi say on the word Rehei? Tein einecha velivecha al devarecha. Direct your heart and your eyes to your words. V'chach omar gam kein Moshe Yisrael. And in fact, not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu Rehei korasi b'shem, but in fact Moshe Rabbeinu, when he comes down to announce the Mishkan, says to Bnei Yisrael, Rehu koro Hashem b'shem b'shalem. So therefore there is an emphasis placed on this interesting development of Bezalel as the architect of the Mishkan, and says of Yeshua, Hela, the verb rehei, repeated again by Moshe Rabbeinu, re'u, implies and testifies to the fact that this is a new development. And it is worthwhile directing our attention to this new aspect of the Mishkan. Says of Yeshua Heller as follows, Galui v'yadua umavuar. Therefore I want to say to you, in my opinion, what it's all about is as follows. It is well known, he says, Ki Moshe Rabbeinu olof ha-tolem nitzave al meleches ha-mishkon kishahoyo v'hol v'agoyim yomori shonim. It is well known, and that's Shitas Rashi, as we know, that the instruction to build the Mishkan was given to Moshe Rabbeinu during the first 40 days that he spent on Har Sinai. The Hosu Ho'egel V'Sof Yom Ho'agoim Li'ali Osova Har Sinai, and we know that the Bnei Yisrael made the Egel. Distinction between making it and worshipping it. They made the Egel on the 40th day that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai. The Eno lo chote ubo ego, and had Bnei Yisrael not sinned at the golden calf, hoyo nigmar os tikkun ho'olam kulo, then the entire world would have remained in that pristine phase. And we know that according to Chazal, and it is confirmed amongst others by the Sephorno in his Pesach al Torah, that when Bnei Yisrael received the Torah, they went back to that situation of Adam Harishon Kodem Achish. And had they not sinned at the Egel Azov, then the world would then have been in its most excellent state and would have remained there. The Yisrael hayu nitzorim b'madregu el yoyin u'dugukim bo yisporach b'yahava b'bechinas nitzui. And the Jewish people would have remained on a level of attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is appropriately described as Nisuin, a complete union, as opposed to Eilsin. V'hoyo Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom bi'atmo oseh kol meleches ha-mishkon nishkon kevod Hashem v'maisi yedei Moshe v'ofen na'ale. And had the Jewish people remained on that madrega of Matan Torah and not sinned, then the Mishkan would indeed have been built by none other than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Ula mishachotu ba'egel, but because they sinned at the Egel, nofal mimadrigosom, they fell from that level, ubotel hanisuim, and that intimate union was lost, v'nisharu mekushorim imo yisporach, and they were left, as it were, bound to the Almighty, only v'bechinas eilusin, as it were, in a union of betrothal. So it is not complete, it is there, it is established, it is real, but it is not total. V'zeh goram gam kein. And because they sinned at the ego, this brought about we were not zoche that Moshe Rabbeinu should build the Mishkan himself. Vayehi, and it came to pass, the Yom Ho'agoyim on the 40th day that Moshe Rabbeinu is on Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's still there. Lo me Torah with the Agvura, learning Torah from Hashem. The Israel and Mato and Israel are down below. Oskin the Asiyas Ho'egel. They are involved on the 40th day of Moshe's sojourn on the mountain in the making of the Egel. The Ovru Belavdi Asiyah Chiem Misas Pesin. And at that moment in time, at the end of the 40th day, when they make the Egel, they are involved in an enterprise which is forbidden by the Torah, but which does not bring with it the death penalty. Death penalty does not come from making an idol. Death penalty comes from worshipping an idol. And it was only Ulam Ochor on the next day, Yishkimo Vayitachvulo Vayizmechulo. Then they bow down to it and sacrifice to it. The Ovru Belad Dizivuach Vihistachavoyo Shehuva Misas faced it. And it was then, when they worshipped it and they sacrificed to it, then they became liable, those who were involved, of course, they became liable to the death penalty. And at the end of the 40th day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished to speak with Moshe Rabbeinu, and gave him the luchos. Ukamosha Kosol, by Yitain al Moshe Kechaloso Ledabiri Toshin Elo Kosa Wedus. And it came to pass when he has finished to speak to him that Hashem gave him the Luchos. Uwe Tanchuma, and in the Tanchuma they say, Omer Avlevi, the Avlevi tells us, Yisrael Yoshim Lamatan, the Chodin is the Ego. Israel is down below, and they're making the Ego. Shenema Vayikach Miyotom Ayotaloso Vachelet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lamalon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above, Chokek Luchos, he is there. As it were, chiseling out the Luchos, the Tevla and Dibro Chaim, Shenema Vayitena Moshe Kechaloso. And on the 41st day, the next day, Omar the Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lechei, go down. Shoz Omar lo, because that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces to him, Vayishtachu lo, Vayishbuchu lo. Velo Zavachu Vayishtachu Ad Lamacha. And it was only on the next day, on the 41st, that they actually bowed down and worshipped it. Aye, there is a machlokus in the Medrash, because the Rabbanan say that the Luchos were given to Moshe Rabbeinu before the Maaseh, and Rabbi Levi says the Maaseh, also Maaseh, etc., etc., and Rabbi Levi says it was after the Maaseh. Both of them are saying the same thing. One is saying that the Luchos were given to Moshe Rabbeinu after they had made the Egel, and the other man, the Omer, is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Luchos before they worshipped the Egel. So as far as we are concerned, therefore, on the 40th day, when Moshe Rabbeinu was still on the mountain, Bnei Yisrael had made the Egel, and at that particular moment they lost the opportunity of having Moshe Rabbeinu make the Mishkan for them, which had originally been envisaged. Shaluchos nitnu l'Moshe achar huasi l'seif nem yom, v'kudu mishtachavoy v'azivuach v'voka shal yom emal. So after Tzolomo and Tzava were over, at which time the Bnei Yisrael had done nothing wrong, there was no mention of Bezalel, because it was envisaged that Moshe Rabbeinu b'chvod of Yashmu should make the Mishkan. At the end of the 40th day, in Parshas Kisiso, Re'ei Korati B'Shem Bezalel. Something new has happened, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now direct your heart and your eyes to a new element in the Mishkan, and that is, not you, Bezalel. K'mo Shehi Sedura Batura Miyuchelet L'chol HaDvarim. And indeed, that is why the nomination of Bezalel is found at the very end of all those commandments and details of the Mishkan, for Hoyozeh the Emes Dovah Chodosh, because it was something new, which had not been anticipated at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu concerning the Mishkan, originally in Terum and Tzaveh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Horoeh Eskol, I will say to me, but they haven't as yet bow down to the Egel Azov, that comes to pass on the 41st. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they had already made the Egel on that day. Rosh and Asaho Egel. So now he knows the path on which they are embarked. The Shuv Lo Yaseh Moshe V'Yasmo Es HaMishkon. And he knows now that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot make the Mishkan. That was a type of situation which was originally envisaged, but which no longer pertains. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, that whereas up to now I have given you the impression that you were going to be the one to make the Mishkan and its Kelim, as it says, you should know that Zehoyo al Tanayim lo Chotu. You should know that that was only on condition that Bnei Yisrael did not sin. But now, Re'ei Korosi B'Shem Le'eze Chodoshu. Tein Einecha V'Livecha Al Hizchadishus Hazeh. Ulam lo higidlo ad lamocha shezobuchu vishtachru, kemo shekotu leich leid, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu announced the nomination of Bezalel to make the Mishkan during the 40th day when he was on the mountain, at which time the Bnei Yisrael had made the Egel Azov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew the path on which they had already begun to travel, but in regards to telling Moshe Rabbeinu anything about the Egel Azov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell him immediately that they had made it. It was only on the following day, when they actually began to worship it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu announced to Moshe Rabbeinu exactly what had taken place. So therefore, on the 40th day itself, there is a Rehu. There is a new element in the Mishkan. It's not going to be made by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's going to be made by Bezalel. But in regards to telling Moshe Rabbeinu what event brought that into being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say one word to Moshe Rabbeinu until they had actually not only made the Egel, but actually bowed down to it. So this is a major thesis. Now is not the time to go into this particular essay at any greater length. Suffice it to say that this is most probably one of the most seminal essays in the entire area of Parshanut, and Meshech Chochma and Netziv and others of that school, they have all had as their ancestor in this particular area the Yeshua Helen. Something very, very special. I hope it means Hashem during the following years that we'll have an opportunity to refer to more of the of this particular essay, and we will see the analysis which he subjects to Tzukim in Terumo and Tzaveh, comparing to Vayakil Pekude, and how he explains them with this Shita, Kodo Ho'egel, Acher Ho'egel. It is something that we will see in marvel, but we'll leave that out Chazon Lamoed. Okay. We now pass through the episode of the Egel and come now to the most important single event in the Parsha. Namely, as a result of the worshipping of the Egel, the Luchos are broken. And the Luchos are broken as a result of which new Luchos have to be designed. And here again, we will move over to the Meshech Chochma and see so beautifully how he interprets various psukim which pose major problems. Let us therefore turn to Perek Lamed Daled Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vesolecha, you hew out for yourself Shnei Luchos Avonim Kodishonim, two tablets of stone like the first ones, Vekosafti al Luchos, and I will write on the Luchos this Hadvarim, Asher Oyu al Luchos Orishonim Asher Shibarto. It's going to usher us into some quite fascinating areas here. Well, we look at the pasuk and we say, it says quite clearly, the Chosati al Haluchos. And what is Baruch Hu saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, I will write. You hew them out, I will write. Let's have a look at Sukkim Kav Zayin and Kav Ches in this parsha. Quite fascinating. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and Hashem says to Moshe, Kisav Lechos Hadvarim Ha'ele. You write them. I make up your mind. They give you a part of the Chos. Safti al Haluchos. I will write on the Luchos. And here says, Kisav Lechos Hadvarim Ha'ele. You write. So here we have a look at Meshech Chochma. He starts from the Pasuk in Kav Zayin of Kav Ches. But in reality, he could as well have started from the very beginning of the Parsha. So there it says in Kav Zayin Kav Ches Kisav Lechos, you write. And in Eitel, it says Meshech Chochma, it says, Vayisahi Omar Hashem Elai, Hashem said to me, Pesol Lechos, you hew out the stones, Ve'echtov al Haluchos, and I will write. And the emissary says, Meshech Chochma, if you look at the beginning of the Parsha, it says, Lechos Tavti al Haluchos, it's had a little more, Hashem Elai al Haluchos, or Yishonu Masher Shibat. So now we have to find out what is going on. Who did the writing? There is no contradiction in Torah. We just have to find out what the Torah says. Like the Shimon Shkoptrat used to say, no caches in the Gemara. Just have to find out what the Gemara is talking about. No caches. So we got to find out what's going on. Says the Meshech Chochma. Now notice, please, how challenging this interpretation is. How Indian? The idea here is as follows. Remember, please, as far as chewing out this tablet, less mandapali, there's no argument. That has to be done by Moshe Rabbeinu. I first Lucas on his part, hewed out the stones and wrote, but in the second set of Lucas, nobody argues the hewing of the stones had to be done by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the writing that there seems to be some area of concern about. Hoinian, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Kilmole chotu bo ego. Had the Jewish people not sinned at the ego, Veloni stabru luchos rishonos, and had the first luchos not been broken, the Gemara says quite clearly in Enevin, Veloni stachko turo me Yisrael, Jews would never have forgotten one word of their learning, Velo hayasa uma velosho sholetet bohem. And no nation would have prevailed against them. Had they not sinned at the Chet HaEgel, they would have learnt with the greatest of ease, and number two, as far as their position in the world is concerned, no nation would have challenged them in any way. And to give you an idea how Moshe Chochmah will then follow on in this theme of before the Egel and after the Egel, just in brackets, in Parshas Mishpatim and in Parshas Kisisa, we have an instruction to go to the Beit HaMikdash three times a year.
But it is only in Kisisa that the Pasuk says, V'lo yachmod ish es artzecha v'aloscha. No nation will covet your land when you go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Says Moshe Chochmah, so why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu mention a similar promise in Mishpatim? So the Mishpatim is before the Chet HaEgel. Have they not seen that the Chet HaEgel, below Hayas the Umar Balash and Shulet is for him, no nation would oppose the threat, so you don't need an assurance. After the Chet HaEgel, when now a nation can indeed, as a possibility, pose a threat to B'nai Israel's security,
so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us a special assurance for V'lo Yachmod Ish Es Artzecha.
So as again, give you an idea how Moshe Chochmah is following on these Kodem HaEgel Acharonim.
Now, why is it that had we not sinned at the Chet HaEgel, that no nation would have had mastery over us? V'habiyur, the explanation is as follows, he says. Ki lule zeh, were it not for the Chet HaEgel, hoya ofas hod ho eloki, toel bom, v'hoyu mezuchechei hachomer, v'hoyu mamleches kohanim v'goi kodosh. They would have been a people whose chumrius, whose raw material was in itself refined to such an extent that they are perfection, and therefore it is an impossibility that any other nation can pose a threat against them. Now you see where he's going. The Luchos Horizonos represent the stature of the Jewish people before the Ego. Before the Egel, the Jew, the individual Jew, his holiness had already been worked on. He doesn't have to work on himself now, because he enjoys a special status. Nisuin, says Rabbi Yeshua Heller. That is why the Pesol Lecha, the hewing out of the material of the Luchos, is done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to work on the chumrius of the Luchos. And that's the symbolism. You don't have to work on your own chumrius either. It's all done for you. Bidei Shomayim. That's the thought. Furthermore, Avul Choeis, but now after the Chet HaEgel, Tzorich kol adam liyadar lezachei chumriuso v'techunas nafsho, v'nidos yedoros v'tahoros. But now after the Chet HaEgel, we have fallen, and each individual Jew, in order to obtain perfection, has to work on hewing out his own chumrius. It's not done for you.
So therefore the corresponding situation with the Luchos is Pesol Lecha.
You have got to work on your own chumrias. Because whereas before Chetaway Girl, you were Mizuka Sechomer, you were in a position of refinement, as if to say your chumrias had already been nitzol, it had already been hewn out, and you are now, as it were, totally refined, but that position no longer pertains, and therefore the Shlalach of the second Luchos is a recognition of the new situation in regards to the individual Jew and the necessity for the individual to work on his or her own spiritual perfection. Number two, whereas before the Luchos, before the Chetaway Girl, the Jew learned, and it was a matter of extreme ease. As the Gemara says in Erevin, Lo Nifdak Chotor in Yisrael. Torah would never have been forgotten. We would all have been on that amazing Madrega to learn with ease and fluency and never forget. But now that we have had a Chetaway Girl, a new item has been introduced into our learning of Torah. Gamra Amola Livuda Torah, Ula Hakiris Panoki Yorei. Now we have to work hard and we have to blacken our faces like a raven. In other words, nothing comes easy. V'yachakein, and after we have worked in trying to master the Torah and invested labor and effort and time, la'asuke shmaitza libede hilchete b'siyata l'shmaya. After our effort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then blesses us by giving us increased enlightenment. That's what happens. V'chol ha'mekavil alav ol Torah, ma'avira mimenu ol malchus v'yol d'lechelet. Now, Lachain, therefore, Haluchos Horizonos Maisei Elohim Hema, the writing of the Luchos Horizonos was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if to say, as far as putting Torah into your person is concerned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. The writing is his. It's all a matter of ease. All you had to do was almost sit back and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do the work. Because Ilmale Nishtabru Luchos Rishonos, Lo Nishtak Chotel Mitzel. So therefore, Shalacha goes on with us. The Kesiva pertains to the actual effort which is required in order to master the Torah. Before Chetaway Girl, our involvement was really minimal. We didn't have to blacken our faces like a raven. We didn't have to sit and the perspiration pouring down from our brows, not at all. It was an act of relaxation. So therefore, Lachain Haluchos Rishonos Maisei Elokim Eimo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Biatzmo Asahon Gam Hakesiva. Obalochein Luchos Genios Moshe Posalosam. And also in regards to the Kesiva, Moshe Kesavam Kederach Kolodom Hakosev. Moshe Rabbeinu had to write on the Luchos too, indicating that the initial effort in mastering the Torah has to be done by us. You have to blacken your face like a raven. But Abul Hachakika, Mizehu Mizeh, Kederach Shahoyo Baluchos Horishonim, Shezeh in Yenisi, Venifla Kamamorim Zal, etc., etc., Zehoyo Mifel Eloki. But after Moshe Rabbeinu had written on the Luchos, the Eshish, which sent the imprint of the letters straight through the Luchos, so that the Luchos were able to be suspended by a miracle. The actual etching out of the letters, that was done by HaKadosh Baruch. In other words, we have to do the initial effort that's symbolized by Moshe Rabbeinu writing on the Luchos. But then when we have made the initial effort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us, as he says, La'asuke shmaitza libede hilchese v'siyata d'shmaya. And therefore, if you want to know how the matter is reconciled, the writing was done by Moshe Rabbeinu on the second Luchos. But it was only writing like we would etch on any material. But the actual chatika, the chiseling through and turning the ksav into a maisenes, that was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodu v'yatzvah. And therefore, when it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do the writing, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do the writing as it was on the first Luchos, straight through. When it says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kesav Lecha, you write, it means Pshuta Kamashmo, you write. So therefore he says like this, V'yirmoz,
And the illusion is shegam haksiva hula hacholam imitzal awadam, that even though writing has to be done by man, now that the chet awegel has taken place, v'yachakein, however, after that, lechakika, in regards to the chiseling through, whom it said, eizer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the emphasis is, if you look at the pasuk, it says, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yichtov al shenei haluchos, kemichtav alishon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just write. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was to make the writing similar to what was written on the first luchos, that means straight through. Haynu shahayu chakukim mizeh umizeh cholos al haluchos mizeh umizeh. So what we have here again, just to sum up, the second luchos compared to the first luchos describes the spiritual status of the Jewish people. The spiritual status of the Jewish people before the Chet HaEgel was such that they did not need to work on themselves in order to refine their characters, because they were on that elevated status. Neither did they need to labor in regards to acquiring Torah. And these two facts are symbolized by the fact that not only were the luchos hewn out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the entire writing and etching process was done likewise by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In regard to the luchos shenios, that describes the spiritual status of the Bnei Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel, where A, they have to work on themselves. There is nothing without effort. For midos yeshuros, there has to be that commitment and that labor. And that is symbolized by the pesal lecha. You have to work on it. And in regards to the learning of Torah, the initial effort has to be made by us. It is true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu then responds to our initial effort by blessing us with increased insight. And that is symbolized by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu made the initial writing. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu had made the initial writing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the ksav in the most perfect fashion. Let me draw your attention to a bit of a homiletic, but nevertheless, I believe in view of this evening's deliberations, certainly very appropriate. We go back to the beginning of Lamed Daled Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'sol lecha, hew out for yourself, Shnei luchos avonim korishonim, two stones, the chosafti al haluchos, and I will write on the tablets es hadavarim, the words asher hayu al haluchos rishonim, which were on the first luchos, asher shibata, which you broke. Now why does he need to tell Moshe Rabbeinu what happened to the first luchos? Everybody knows what happened to the first luchos. Oh, like we know chazal, yasher kach, asher shibata, etc. Says the lutzker of yodnaim latera, which you have just underneath Meshe Chochma, es hadavarim asher hayu al haluchos rishonim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu add the words Asher Shibata, which you broke? This is a yesod. What he has to say now is a yesod. One we would do well to remember. And it appears to me that adding on these two words, Ba comes Lahotzimin Amakubal Eitzel B'nei Adam Yoshme Toshech V'lo Nada Aleim Ola Torah. It comes in order to defy and to reject the argument which is put forward by those people who go in darkness and on whom the light of Torah has never shone. And what do they say? They say, they say like this, if a mitzvah turns out to be one that the people are not able to endure, right, then it's a sign that the congregation, the people, the community are not able for this mitzvah. And therefore, we have to cut it out. I mean, it's impractical. It doesn't work. It might be nice in theory, but between you and me, skatenicht. Ulefikach, therefore, Hoshiba, because of the pasuk says, Asher Shibata, yes! You have to break the luchos. Loma, Shafal Pisa, Saham, Egel Masecha, Vuhukrach Moshe, Lashabir, Saluchos, Shenema, Bohem, Losa, Selachokol, Vesel. that even though the Bnei Yisrael made an egel, as a result of which Moshe Rabbeinu had to break the luchos on which it was written, Lo tzach elochav esel, don't make an idol. So you might have thought, well, I need to say, between you and me, compromise. I mean, 9 out of 10 is also a good result. Right? So let's leave that one out of the second set of luchos. As is Gator's Nisht, as we know. Im kolze, nevertheless, lo botlo chas v'shol mitzvahs lo sas ezu. That negative commandment is not cancelled. V'chos savti al aluchos es hadavorim asher ayu al aluchos rishonim asher kibarta. Yes, you had to break them. But they are 10 commandments, they're not 10 suggestions. V'devar elokeinu yakum li'olam. And HaKadosh Baruch, whose words endure forever. The Alfei Avaryonim Yovdu min Olam. And let thousands of sinners perish from the world. V'lo tibotel af os achas mitorah seinu HaKadosh. But one letter won't go away from the Torah. You're right. You had to break them. And you had to break them because one of those commandments hasn't worked out so successfully in practice. But we're not in for a popularity contest. We're not going to reduce the age of worshipping Avodah Zarah, if you get my meaning. I'm not even going to tell you the story I told you a few weeks ago, but you realize exactly what it's all about. See, here we have a basic yisod. It is true, says the Oznaim LaTorah, that whenever Chazal make a tax... I'm not even going to tell you the story I told you a few weeks ago, but you realize exactly what it's all about. See, here we have a basic yisod. It is true, says the Oznaim LaTorah, that whenever Chazal make a takona, and it is not miskabel amongst the people, then the takona is all over. And on the contrary, the Gemara says you're not allowed to make a gezeirah al hatzibur unless the majority of the tzibur can entertain such an institution. Says the Oznaim LaTorah, but you've got to remember to differentiate between what Chazal institute and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands. There's a difference between Takonas Chachomim and Mitzvos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a different matter altogether. So this is a yisod, no question about it, and well worth remembering, and I will not belabor the point. Now, we move on now to our final offering of the evening. And that is concerning an episode with which we are not so familiar. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain, and lo and behold, his face is shining. Okay, so let's have a look at the psukim. Something most beautiful. Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Kaftes. Vayehi, and it came to pass. Veredes Moshe Mehar Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down from Har Sinai, Ushenei Luchos, so he dus biyad Moshe, but he determined all, Umoshe lo yoda ki Koran ol ponov v'davro ito, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that his face was shining when he had spoken with Hashem. So Aharon sees, v'hinei Koran ol ponov, v'ayilumi geshet elov, they're afraid to come near him. Is Vayikro Alehem Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu calls to the people, Vayoshuvu Elov Aharon V'chol Anasim V'edon. He speaks to them, and then the Bnei Yisrael come to him. Fine. And Moshe Rabbeinu finishes talking to them, and he puts the veil on his face. And when he comes to Hashem, he takes the veil off, etc., etc. Says the Bino Liyitim, what is going on here, Zakta? Kinira Dovozor, it appears to be a most extraordinary situation. Im Nesinas Hamasve Alponov Hoyasami Pane Yurosami Geshiselov. If the whole purpose of the veil was so that the Jewish people should not be afraid to come near him, Eich Bo Habilbul Hazeh, how does the verse record such a confused situation? Namely, when he's speaking with them, if you look at the psukim, it's without a veil. When he's not speaking with them, at that time nobody went near him. They put a veil back on him. And according to logic, it should be the other way around. It's true. When he speaks to Akolish Baruch Hu, it is inappropriate for him to wear the veil. Okay. Ach, but say so, mi menu. But when he leaves Akolish Baruch Hu's presence, uvet savu so es b'nei Yisrael, and when he is dafka commanding the b'nei Yisrael, oz yitain ha-masveh, then he should have put the veil on, leman lo yigishu elav b'pachad of Amora, so that they shouldn't approach him with any fear and dread. And rather, then when he's finished speaking to them, you'll see how much fair, then he should take the veil off. Shane sold it well, because he doesn't need it. Even Shane and Negoshim were off, because nobody's coming to him. On the contrary, logic would demand that he put the veil on when he speaks to them. And if you look at the psukim, you see on the contrary, he put the veil off, he put the veil on when he wasn't speaking to them, when he's finished speaking. Chapela. Omnom, says the Bina Leitim, ledati, in my opinion, lo hoya tzorech ha-masve lechasos ha-kirun b'shevil shelo yisyoru. The purpose of the veil was not so that the people would be able to approach Moshe Rabbeinu without fear. That's not the purpose of the veil at all. Aval ho-inyin hu, the purpose of the veil was as follows. Ki im heyos kol dover chodosh asher b'yesbo eze shinui. The position is as follows. When a person sees something extraordinary for the first time, Yisrael ha'adam yimenu v'yaseh b'roshem. He becomes impressed with it. He neizeh yihyeh b'yes horishon asher yargish bo b'vorom yizman lizman. That's when it comes once every 20 years, every 50 years. Achim yimosheich ha'dover came b'hasmodos man rov. But if this particular phenomenon comes and comes and comes every day, every week, every month, as they say in the classics, it becomes machanik. Oskvar hu murgaldo. Then he gets used to it. The kibbutz a dosh dosh. And once it's there, he takes it for granted. Below yisrashem yimenu klal. And he doesn't become impressed anymore. Familiarity breeds contempt. And indeed the Chazal have told us, the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars, sorry to have to be the one to break the news to you. There is the most glorious celestial music going on every day. But we don't even hear it. Because it happens every day. Hashomayim esachem kvodeil, umaisi yodov magid rokiach. The heavens are declaring the praises of Hashem every minute of the day. You know why we don't hear it? Because yom li yom yabi yomer, velayla le layla yechavedov. Because it goes on day after day and night after night. It's machadik. Is memela ein omer v'ein dvorim. B'li nishma kolam, nobody hears the voice. So when you see something extraordinary for the first time, dos haste. When you hear second time, third time, no. Are you coming out to see the rainbow? I've seen it. Avidat et Moshe Rabbeinu al Rashon be'inyan amasve. Is Moshe Rabbeinu's cheshbon in regards to the veil was as follows. Ki acharei re'oso am b'nei Yisrael nivhalu mimenu mipnei kirun ponov. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai on that fateful day, and he saw that the B'nai Yisrael were filled with moroh, with dread for him, because his face radiated such light. Omar b'libo, he said to himself, Zuti hi yesibo nechino liskoa b'libo moroh rabom leman yishmu v'yilmedu masha alamdeim. This radiance which comes out from my face can be used as a most powerful instrument for introducing them to the concept of Moreh Rav, of the Derech Eretz that one has for a teacher, as a result of which they will listen to what I say with greater care and greater attention. Because they will be so impressed, so in awe of what it is that they see. But there's only one problem. Ach omnom im yihi yezekein v'hasmode. But if they will see me walking around without any covering the whole day, how are you, shalom aleichem, good luck, whatever,
They will see this radiance from my face, if they will see it every minute of the day, casually. They'll become accustomed to it. And they will treat it as another phenomenon of nature, impressive, but nothing to get too excited about. And they will no longer become impressed. Do you lie? And possibly, if he aimly day be Zayo, it might become so vochadi that they will treat it as an item of ridicule. Strange gentlemen. V'tovad ha'kavona ha'nichbedes hu'amura, and they will lose this possibility that this kirun ol panav could have engendered in the people. V'yafsilu ha'toeles ho'atzmi she'yimoshech lehem l'chakus b'libom chosek ha'limut ko'om. That's the only problem. If they see it too often, other than when I am teaching them, then it will lose all its potential. Lefikach, therefore, imtzibachach masel laseis al panav masver. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to make a veil, so that leman lo yiru kirun panav bechal rega besmirus, so that they shouldn't see the radiance of his face every moment. Elo bisman kirao aleihem lelamdom ulutzavosam mashin etzavim imenu yisborach. They should only see the radiance of his face on those selected moments when he comes to teach them. Because then seeing that at such irregular intervals, the power will remain, and therefore that will be utilizing this phenomenon for its best object. So when they see it only at selected moments when he comes to teach them, then this will engender more rav in them, and it will make his teaching even more effective. So therefore, immediately, when he stopped teaching them, Heshiv Hamasve al Ponavi put the veil back. Kemisha who gonez davor yakor, like a person covers over something precious, ain ra'ui sheyihi en yireh el lefrochim, because it's only appropriate that it should be seen from time to time. The purpose of the veil is not to hide his radiance from Bnei Yisrael. The purpose of the veil is to keep the radiance something fresh, something new, so that when it is utilized, it will not be something which is familiar, because familiarity breeds contempt, and that is said about everything. In regard to this particular theme of the Bino Leyitim, I think the Ksava Kabbalah, although it says at the end it's a Sephora, but I think the Ksava Kabbalah actually quotes this almost word for word. I was put in mind of the Chosid Yaivitz on Pirkei Avos, which we looked at many, many years ago. If you have the Haftorah for Parshas HaChodesh at the back of your Chumashim, it's well worth having a look at, because that's the one on which the Chosid Yaivitz bases his comments. It's Pasuk Tes. Again, the theme. Familiarity breeds contempt. And it'll be fascinating how he will relate it back to our parsha in a different way. When the people come up to the Beis HaMikdash, if you come in by the north gate, you're going to leave by the south gate. And if you come in by the south gate, you're going to go out by the north gate. He can't leave by the same gate he came in. He's got to go out by the opposite gate. Biffle Moldav Mazov. If he comes north, because I'm going to south, goes south with the north, because opposite, can't go the same one. What's it all about? The Nasi doesn't need to have that precaution, as we see earlier on in the Haftorah. Says the Chosid Yaivitz, Filozeh Hasiba, and it is for this reason, okay, exactly what we're talking about, Tzivah Hashem Yisborach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded through the Navi, Ubevol Am Haaretz, Lo Yetzei Derech Hashem, etc. What is it all about? Ki Hikbid Hashem Yisborach, Shelo Yidah Hashem, Beis Tiyamin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is particular that you shouldn't see the same case twice on your visit to the Beis HaMikdash.
Pen Yashver Vienov Lishar Beso, lest he becomes as accustomed to the gate of the Beis Hamidrash like the gate of his own house. The Kilos Havayas, the Kilos Havayas, saying he's in the gate. What's the big deal? Below there, his Gira Posuk Birosho. So therefore, the Posuk, first of all, tells us, Ki Biyosu Lohayas, or Elamis man, his man, you shouldn't come too often to the Beis Hamidrash either. Because that becomes Vakatik. And even when you do come on Pesach Shmuz and Sukkot, you've got to come in by one gate and you've got to leave by a different gate because familiarity breeds contempt. The whole purpose of leaving by a different gate, says the Chosid Yavis, is Mipereiki Yavas Am Horetz Hoyosom Yitzaradimio Levad, because the Am Horetz is impressed by the superficial. The Am Horetz is not alive with spiritual sensitivity. He sees a very impressive edifice. That's why the impression will be tremendously impressive at first, but the moment he sees the same gate, the lesser it'll get. But in regards to the Nasi, who has a spiritual sensitivity, on the contrary, he doesn't need to be told this. On the contrary, I will call she Yosef Lahasmid go del Hoava Belibo, Belochin Yetse Baderech Hashabovo, because he comes to the Beis Hamidrash and has a spiritual sensitivity. On the contrary, the more often he sees the same item, the more he will glean some theme and some message out of it. Nasi doesn't need to be told that. Okay. So again, says the Chosid Yavetz, we have to be very careful that we do not become too familiar with even the most exalted of items, because familiarity breeds contempt. And now, Chosid Yavetz adds a P.S. which is amazing. Zeh hoyo avon maise hoegel. And this theme of familiarity breeds contempt was at the root of the Chet hoegel. Shahaya ha ohel visocha ajemo asubo. The problem was, well, you're going to make a golden calf. That's going to take the place of Moshe Rabbein. Well, what's going on here? You're going to tell me that that piece of gold, I mean, it may be worth a fortune. But a comparison? So we haven't got a Moshe Rabbein, so you give us a bit of gold instead? Doesn't breathe, it doesn't eat, it doesn't drink. We're not in Ruach HaKadosh. How come? Truth of the matter is, because they saw Moshe Rabbeinu every day, so they didn't think of him the way they should have thought of him. Even a Moshe Rabbeinu that you meet on your way home from the Beis HaMedrash every morning at Minchas Maariv, how are you, sir? Evening, how's the wife? My kind regards. No. And that is why, at Shemoh Subo, because he was with them so often, they had in their own minds brought him down until they treated him not in the way in which he should have been treated, to the extent that they came along and said, Asay Lanu Elohim, make us a God. Moshe Rabbeinu not here, so we'll have an Egel Azov. That type of transference is only possible if Moshe Rabbeinu was not enjoying the exalted status that he should have enjoyed. Otherwise, people would have said, what's going on here? Because you don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu, so you give me a piece of dross. It's only because Moshe Rabbeinu was amongst them. And says Chosid Yavetz, who Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom hirgish bozen. And Moshe Rabbeinu, deep down in his heart, understood that the reason why they had made an Egel Azov as a substitute for himself was not so much that they didn't know who he was, but familiarity breeds contempt as a result of which, as soon as he came down after the Chet HaEgel, the Pasuk says, V'notolo es ha'ohel michutz l'machne harchek manach. He moved out. Because he realized that the source of the problem had been because they saw him too often. So therefore he decided, the less they see me, only when it's necessary, then they will retain the derech eretz that they are supposed to have for an ishalokim. So interesting, fascinating, what the Bir Aliyitim says with the Masveh, the same cheshbon, says the Chosid Yavetz, is Moshe. So you see, as they say in the classics, if you go on the right road, you meet people. So we leave it over here.